How many of you can think of someone who at some point in your life believed in you when you weren't so sure you believed in yourself? Someone probably a little older, a little wiser, more experienced, who looked at you in the situation you were put in and said, "You can do this. I know you can." You know, on a Friday, a man was hanging around with some of his friends and they were chatting. He mentioned that he was building a sidewalk down the side of his house, that he spent the latter part of the afternoon building the forms, and he said, "I really don't know what I'm doing. Have any of you ever done concrete? I'm especially wondering about how to do the finishing part of it." His friends all shook their heads, and then one of them said, "You can do it. Get the right tools. You'll be fine." Then he got the most encouraging comment of all, "Well, it's between two houses. No one will ever see it." But it worked. But that one bit of encouragement is what he needed to tackle the job. You know, sometimes the best encouragement is just knowing no one else is going to notice it sometimes. Well, I want you to notice this morning a man named Barnabas. He's in Acts 9, 1 through 27 is where we see his story. Barnabas, who is actually named another name, that name means son of encouragement or man of encouragement. We meet him in Acts 4. It's very early in the story of the Christians. It's not long ago that the Holy Spirit fell on the believers at Pentecost, and Peter had been leading the new Christians. In Acts 2, 42 and following, we read that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in the homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. One of those whom the Lord added to their number is introduced to us at the end of Acts 4. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles call Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So this man, we can compare him with the man, that young man that Jesus talked to, who said, "I've done everything, I've followed him. What must I do?" And Jesus said, "Sell all your possessions and come follow me." And that man could not do that. But here we see Barnabas is a man who did just that. So we see Barnabas is a man of generosity and encouragement. We get the first glimpses in these verses of who Barnabas is. We see he's a man of generosity. He's a giver. By his actions we can see that he's one that loves God and not a lover of money. We don't know much more. We don't know if he was a man of wealth who gave out of his abundance or if he gave it a great sacrifice to him. We don't know that. But we know that it was a significant gift because it was mentioned there. He sold the land to bring finances to the work of the ministry that he was starting. Now, Barnabas was not a preacher who one day received, he wasn't like a preacher who one day received a phone call from a woman wanting to arrange the funeral of her dog. She said, "I've called several churches and everyone just laughed at my request." The preacher said, "Ma'am, we don't do that, but I'm just curious as to why you want to have this done for a dog." She said, "Well, I just love the dog and I want a funeral for him." Well, the preacher said, "That's nice, but we just can't." She then said, "I sure love him. I'd be willing to give $10,000 to any church who would hold the funeral." "Oh," said the preacher, "why didn't you tell me your dog was a Christian? Of course we can do that." You know, he wasn't looking, Barnabas was not a man who favored money and would do anything for him. He was a man who gave of himself. We also see some of Barnabas' character from a new name he's given. We see that as we continue. Now, Barnabas was also a risk taker. He wasn't too shy or unwilling to stretch the envelope, to push a little bit, to go beyond what he's experienced in his Christian life. Now we meet him again in Acts 9 is where the main part of this is going to be. It's quite a while later. The gospel has gone to Samaria with success, and it's on its way to Ethiopia with the newly baptized Ethiopian eunuch. And there has been a lot of persecution that has scattered most of the believers out of Jerusalem. Chapter 9 begins with, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for a letter to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, which is what they called it back then, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So we see that Saul, or soon to become Paul, is still persecuting the Christians. He goes and gets letters, thereby giving him the power to go into these other synagogues, especially Damascus, and have these people called back. Now remember, it's early on, it's going just to kind of to the Jewish people at that time, and they're using the synagogues in order to go and meet people who are interested in hearing what they have to say. So here, even Paul knows, and the Christians know, that the way to get to people is to try to clue in on those who have an interest in God, who have a spirituality around them, that then we can broach the subject with them and talk to them about Christ, or share our faith with them in a non-threatening way to them, and see if they're curious for just a little bit more, and you know, just keep encouraging those conversations with them when you meet them. Certainly a lot of places people don't want to hear about God, and you'll get a very cool reception from that. But when people are actively or spiritual or have some sort of religious affiliation, those are the people that, you know, we can kind of start talking about, oh, our faith too, in some sort of way. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus in Damascus, you had either run from the persecution in Jerusalem or had been led there by faith of someone who went over there by that. In other words, Saul had persecuted his fill in Jerusalem, and now he was branching out. He wanted branch offices where he could persecute those Christians that were out there. Now, if they had followed you, the murderous threats, and these weren't idle threats, if we look at the story of Stephen, who was stoned to death, who once Saul held the coats of those who stoned him, you had a right to be skeptical when Saul showed up and said he was a Christian. Most of us in that situation would expect it just to be a trick of Saul in order to infiltrate the believing Christians. So when Saul was blinded on the way, and Jesus cried out to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he believed, naturally they were skeptical of their greatest enemy, who I'm sure they heard throughout the land of how he was doing that, would be very leery of that. But in chapter 9 of Acts, we see that conversion of Paul. So, after Paul is changed over, we read in verse 26 that things were getting very dangerous for him there. And he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. So we see that Barnabas took that risk of giving Saul that chance to see what would happen. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And then he spoke to him and he talked to them and told him how he had preached in Damascus and how he had preached the gospel in the name of Jesus. So he's putting himself on the line here. If Saul is genuine, then everything's okay. But if this is a trick by Saul, a highly planned trick by him, then Barnabas is not only going to be diminished in the eyes of the apostles and the Christians, but he's also going to feel a traitor to his people. And Saul would have been able to really get to the apostles. So the apostles are around at this time. So the greatest thing that the Jewish opposition could do was to get to these apostle leaders. That would be like, you know, plots to kill Hitler, or trying to cut off the command structure in a war. If you do that, then effectively you've won the war. So they would be very cautious at that time of allowing Saul to come into their midst. Barnabas had went and listened to Saul. It's Barnabas who tells the story of Saul to the other people. He investigated, he gave Saul his hearing, and undoubtedly listened to the Holy Spirit to affirm that truth. Now, what might have happened to Saul without Barnabas' introduction? What might have happened to the history of the church or the movement of the gospel of the Gentiles? What might have happened to our scripture? So we owe a lot to Barnabas and what he did right at that time. It's important to note at this point in the story that Saul stays with the disciples in Jerusalem for a short while, but then things get dangerous again, and Saul leaves and goes to his hometown of Tarsus, quite a long distance away from Jerusalem, where he lived for 6 or 7 years. So Paul didn't really get started. We kind of read the Bible and we think, oh, this all happened, boom, 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 and everything's going great. But there was these stumbling blocks, these trepidation between the apostles and seeing Saul change and his their acceptance of him. And then, of course, him going away to Tarsus to live for a while. So this is by, you know, spits and sputters and everything that this got going. Otherwise, look at all that Paul has contributed, not only to Christianity, to saving souls and the writings that we have here. So, this would have been several years that Paul lived in obscurity. And now we see Paul the faithful. We meet the faithful. We meet Barnabas again in Acts 11, verses 19 through 26. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faithful, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So, first we see Barnabas had remained faithful in growing in his Christian life throughout all those years that he was separated from Paul. He was in a position of leadership and trust, and the church, you know, commissioned him to go out and check out the reports of the non-Jewish people accepting Christianity and believing in Jesus. There may have been a lot of ordinary days for the church. I'm sure they met to encourage each other. The needs of those who had needs were taken care of, and the Word of God was being taught there. They certainly dealt with people unhappy with parts of the community, and they had to make difficult decisions about resources that they had, and they had to figure out what it really means to love each other in the way that Jesus told them to. And through all of this, it seems that Barnabas had remained open and growing in his life, and his discerning and encouraging heart had earned the trust of the people in Jerusalem, so that he was the one who was chosen to go check out this new thing that was happening, that their sect was spreading to the Greeks. That tells us that Barnabas is open to learning and growing and sharing while remaining firmly rooted in his belief. And the first part of chapter 11 tells the story of the church wrestling with the very idea of spreading the church beyond the Jewish walls. No doubt they were skeptical, but Barnabas was the one who went out and did it. Now, the second thing in Luke's description of Barnabas, Luke is pretty much just a facts guy and doesn't usually include statements like this in verse 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. That's a pretty good testimony for Barnabas. He was filled with God's Word. He was filled with the things of God, and he brought a great many to the Lord. You know, something for each of us to strive for in our lives. A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and fruitful in the kingdom. Now, the final part of our story this morning is to look at what Barnabas says after seeing the good things that are happening in Antioch. He's seeing great things there, a new fertile field for him to get into. He goes to Tarsus and seeks out the man he met, Saul. Barnabas gets excited about all that God is doing in the lives of these people and realizes that they need help. And they need help from someone with Saul's background who can help them understand Jesus, who can teach, disciple, and encourage them. And he thinks of Saul, and he goes to Tarsus to find him. Now, of course, we think of Paul as being kind of the quintessential Jewish person, steeped in the Scriptures, holy, you know, as anyone out there. But Paul, or Saul at that time, was also living in the Greek culture. He didn't live in Jerusalem. He lived out there with those people. So he had a great way of probably dealing and communing with these people and understanding them in ways that those of the pure Jewish, those living in Jerusalem, wouldn't have a way of dealing with these people. So he could display great skill at teaching these people out there. He lived among them. He understood them. And Barnabas stays with him for a whole year, ministering side by side with him, encouraging, debriefing, reconnecting Saul to the church from Jerusalem, which was still the main church at that time. So, what have we learned this morning? We learned that Barnabas was generous, making personal financial sacrifices for the work of the kingdom. That's certainly worthy of us emulating. Second, we saw that he was willing to take risks, to give a person another chance, to stretch out and put his neck on the block for Christianity. That's certainly worthy of us emulating today also. Finally, we see him faithfully living his life, having ideas about what can be done to help, and doing what he could to encourage others to help others, including Paul. Marion Gilbert, in a book called Remnants, once said, "One morning I opened the door to get the newspaper and was surprised to see a strange little dog without paper in his mouth. Delighted with the unexpected delivery service, I fed him some treats. The following morning, I was horrified to see the same dog sitting in front of our door, wagging his tail, surrounded by 8 newspapers. I spent the rest of the morning returning the papers to their owners." A little encouragement goes a long way. It certainly did for that little fellow. And, you know, encouragement is one of the best things we can do. If nothing else, we can encourage others. And, you know, I can stand here this morning, there's nothing more encouraging that when someone prays and they pray for me and the work of the church and stuff like that, there's nothing more encouraging than telling someone, a fellow brother and sister, even someone out in the world, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for, you know, to get well, to find a job, to do this, to do that." Whatever it may be, you show that you care in those times. So a little encouragement goes a long way. The encouragement you get this week may save a soul eventually, may return a backslider, may strengthen the suffering Christian, and you might be surprised to learn that you too are encouraged by the things that you do in the Lord. So, we see a man of encouragement. Let's all strive to be that same person of encouragement today, that we can help and encourage others and just be a more faithful Christian. Just being a good example is encouragement in itself, as Barnabas showed. Just being a great encourager to Paul, look what it got us as far as our writings in the New Testament and the start of the church at that time as it spread from Jerusalem to those around us. As much as we can do in life, encourage others. I don't know what your needs may be this morning, but if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?